You're listening to the Speaking Tongues podcast. I'm your host, El Sharice. Each week, I sit down to a conversation with multilinguals where we discuss and celebrate language, life, and culture through our own perspectives. Episode 113, speaking Creole Mauricien. Hello, language lovers. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Speaking Tongues, the podcast in conversation with multilinguals. This week, we're speaking with Avishta, the founder of Lingua Cultura, to talk about her language of Creole Mauricien. In this conversation, Avishta talks about learning Creole and French as first languages growing up in Mauritius and her journey through varying languages around the world. She tells us about the influences of Indian languages on the Creole, and we even talk about some of the other Creole languages that can be heard in the Indian Ocean. Avishta talks about how the language is spoken in the diaspora and how it varies from the language spoken on the island. We also learn more about the Lingua Cultura conference, which Avishta started on Clubhouse during the pandemic. And make sure you're subscribed to my Patreon to hear deleted portions of this episode about Creole in academia and about Mauritian cuisine. Big thank you to Avishta for sharing bits of your culture and languages with all of us. If you enjoy episodes of Speaking Tongues, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the Speaking Tongues podcast on Apple Podcasts, and like and subscribe on YouTube so that other language lovers like ourselves can find the show. And if you've been a longtime listener of the show or even a recent listener, you can now pledge ongoing support for the show on buymeacoffee.com or on patreon.com. And as you know, I wrote a book. My food zine of international language and cuisine, Taste Buds Volume 1, is available now for purchase. Check social media for the sneak peek inside the book and make sure you purchase one for yourself and one for your friends. Links to all platforms are in the show notes. Okay, let's chat. Welcome back to another episode of Speaking Tongues. I'm here today with Avishta. How are you today, Avishta?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to you today about your languages.
I'm super excited to share about the languages that I know with you and your audience.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, absolutely. I like to start each episode with the same question, and that is, what is your first language and which languages have you learned to speak?
Well, that's a bit of a complicated question because I would say I have a couple of first languages.
Okay.
I consider English, French, and Creole Mauricien, or Mauritian Creole, to be my first languages, as I was exposed to them and learned them at the same time.
Cool.
So primarily, though, I would say Creole Mauricien is the first one I probably heard from my parents. And then we learned the ABCs in English and French at the same time, and reading books and all that, everything was in English and French. And then the other languages that I know, have studied later on, are Hindi, Spanish, little Portuguese, little Latin. There are some other languages that I've, you know, spent some time just like learning a few things here and there, but nothing in depth. But yeah, those are the languages that I know.
What were some of the things that made you interested in the other languages? Like you said, Hindi, Spanish, and Portuguese, like what made you want to learn those languages specifically?
Well, Hindi wasn't really an option for me. Growing up in Mauritius, we are all multilingual because we have to take language option at school. And that option for me was Hindi.
Mm.
I guess there were other options, Tamil, Telugu, Marathi, Urdu, Arabic, Mandarin, just those are the languages that were brought to Mauritius a long time ago. And because my ancestors came from India, the part of India where they spoke Hindi anyway, I got put in Hindi classes. So did my siblings as well. And I believe my parents too, and probably their parents as well. So it's based on the group, the ethnic group that you identify with.
Really?
So then you put in the class where in the course, the language course based on your say ethnic identity, maybe would probably be the best way to go about it. But yeah, and then later on, when I moved to Canada, I did my second degree. I did it in Spanish. I chose Spanish because I was influenced by Latin music, Latin
Oh,
American
cool.
music.
Yeah.
And I've always been really into dancing and not so much learning other languages because it's something that was no that that is normal to us actually in Mauritius. I learned Spanish because of mostly because of Shakira and some reggaeton. And then for Portuguese and Latin because I'm not sure that I can put into words why I am so attracted to ancient languages that I would say most people either don't care about or don't know about these days, but I really like them. I had an obsession for several years with ancient Egyptian and or ancient Egypt, I should say. And I started learning some hieroglyphs. But then over the last couple of years, I've seen like I really got into Latin. But I have to say, Latin, oof, it is not easy. It is not an easy, I mean, it might be easy for some people, but learning Latin for me has been a bit of a challenge because they have so many rules, lots and lots of rules you have to follow. And then with Portuguese, it kind of seems like the natural thing to do if you know Spanish, you know French. Portuguese can just kind of comes naturally to people who learn Romance languages. And I have to say, in the world, I would say most people learn the language family that is most let's say studied and learned is the Romance language family. And it just made sense for me to try Portuguese as well. Although for people who say that it's easy, because you know Spanish and French and other Latin languages, it is not so easy for everybody, especially if you're learning on your own outside of a Portuguese speaking country. But yeah, that's kind of how I learned my other languages. English and French were never options for us. We are taught in English, that's the medium of instruction. I think to this day it's still the same thing. And French, we have a history of being colonized by the French and the British. So our official languages in Mauritius are English and French, and the lingua franca is Creole Mauricien or Mauritian Creole. All of these languages that we use in Mauritius, we don't really use them outside of academia. We don't really use them as much as we use Creole Mauricien, which is our lingua franca.
I want to ask you a question, and I don't know if you'll have an answer to it, but you said that in school you learned Hindi as a second language and it was based on your like ancestral origin, but they also had offers of Marathi and Gujarati, you said, and did you say Tamil also?
It's Tamil, Telugu, Marathi, and Urdu.
Telugu, Marathi, and Urdu. So how do they know like where your ancestry is from that you would have spoken Hindi and not Urdu or not Telugu, for example? Is it like do you willingly submit that information? Do they know by your last name? Like how do they determine that? Or do you know, I should ask.
I would guess. I don't know this as a fact. I have spent some time just talking to my dad, especially about the roots of our last name, because my last name is not Indian. Siras is not at all an Indian last name. I think our last name has actually evolved from what it used to be. So this is what my dad told me anyway. I would imagine that they can trace it back to, based on the last name, they can trace it back to where in India our ancestors came from and what language was spoken in that part. Another way, or that part of India. Another way to look at it is basically what religion you practice. because each language depends on how you see it. In Mauritius, the language and the religion is called, from my understanding anyway, I haven't been in Mauritius for a long time, but from my understanding, we called the Tamil religion also, there's the Tamil language, but also Tamil religion.
Okay.
And then we are Hindus, and that's the Hindu religion. The language is Hindi though, but for Telugu and Marathi, all of that, they use the same word to describe the religion, or your ethnicity, your ethnic background, and the language. So there are two possibilities on how you get put in whichever class. Although I have to say, I think you do have an option. So let's say if you don't, maybe like, you know, during the registration process, like when you're registering your kid to go to school, let's say at the public registration system, I don't know what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
They probably then on the, you know, the form that you have to fill in, then you probably would have to pick, you know, which religion you identify with or which group you belong to. And then I think based on that, they put you in those language classes.
Okay.
I think that's how it works, because I was never told that I could take Urdu or Arabic if I wanted. It was okay. Just the all the way. So I would say that's how it's done, but I don't know this as a fact. And even if I was curious to do so, I don't even know if my parents would have an answer for that. And what also got me curious, and this is something worth noting because it kind of goes into the Creole language a little bit, is that there are people who are direct descendants of the African slaves that were brought to Mauritius a long time ago. So they get put in classes. I think they have the option of choosing the language that they want to study, other than Mandarin. So their only option is to study Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they wanted to learn one of the other language options, I think they are the only ones who actually get to choose which language they can study, because Creole Mauricien was not available until 2012 in primary school.
Wow.
So, and I left the country prior to that.
Yeah.
So I never learned it the way that, you know, kids learn it in school now. So I always found this fascinating, that this language, because it was mandatory, at least from what I could see, it was mandatory to take a language in school, an additional language. But the direct descendants, who we also call Creole people,
mm-hmm.
technically we're all Creoles, but more specifically in Mauritian society, we would refer to people from who are descendants of African slaves who were brought to Mauritius as Creole. And so these guys, I think they might have had the option of not taking any second mm-hmm. language, or to take Mandarin, which has nothing to do with their background at all.
One thing I want to say before I get to that is, like, I love Creole languages because I love how, you know, in spite of colonization or sometimes working with, you know, colonial languages, how people of color are able to take what they're given or what they have to work with and turn it into something of its own and turn it. And I think it's like this magical language alchemy that happens with Creole languages and bringing forth the best of so many influences together and creating something that is one of a kind. I think that's really amazing. And I, you know, I say that in the best way, but for you who speaks Creole Mauricien, what do you notice? Where do you notice the influences from different parts of the world, from different languages? Where do you notice the French or, you know, any Indian languages or even any African languages that play a part in the development of the language?
So the Creole that's spoken in Mauritius has been influenced by, I would say, all of the languages that exist in the country. For example, I grew up speaking Creole, but with some French and English in it. Like I never, And this is something that, at least in my household, it was like that. And perhaps in many households in Mauritius, we grow up because we have influences of so many different languages. We tend to, like, as I'm speaking to you, if a word doesn't come to mind right away, like if I was speaking to you right now in Creole Mauritien, if a word didn't come to mind, I would immediately just tap into the other languages that I know and use that. It could be French. It would definitely be English, chances are, because it's my dominant language now. Or it could actually be Hindi. Or in my
Right.
case, it most likely would be Spanish before it is Hindi. So, I grew up actually like that. I grew up in a household where we were constantly using, Creole Mauricien as a dominant language, but we would use, if we didn't know, because, as the more I look at Creole Mauricien, the more I realize that there are so many words that I've never been exposed to. And I just don't know how to say it. And when I don't, even though I feel like in my mind I'm speaking fluent Creole Mauricien, but I'm still using, and I think most people are like that. When they speak Creole Mauricien, if they're fluent in French, they at least the pronunciation of some words, you would find that it's more the French pronunciation that it is the Creole Mauricien pronunciation. In my case, I replace a lot of words that I don't know in English or in French. So as I guess I said that earlier, Creole Mauricien has been influenced by, again, all languages. So let's say take me out of the situation in the context here, but someone who speaks Telugu, for example, if they speak the language fluently, even at home, they might, mix up the words, which is, you would call this translanguage, and mix up some Telugu word together with Creole at home and come up with a new word, actually, not just switching, but also like creating their own words. And this is the flexibility of the Creole language that I love. You couldn't do that with English. I mean, yes, you can with other dominant languages. But with Creole, because, for example, Mauritius is a multilingual society and we all learn all these languages, right, at school, it's easy for us to switch from one to the other and we would be able to understand. So if you and I were both Mauritians right now, and I started speaking to you in Mauritian, in Creole Mauricien, I could easily switch to English and French. And that is because, we all learn all these languages. So these languages as well have influenced Creole in the sense that, as I said earlier, if you don't know how to say a word, you could easily replace it. And it got to a point that these languages have influenced Creole so much that now it has become a re regular Creole language. Like I wouldn't say, like, for example, like if I went to, I don't know, if I say I went to the salon and got a haircut, or if I wanted to go do a brushing, just like a quick hairdo or something, I would say, brushing. I'm going to get a brushing. Like brushing, you write it the same way in English, like how you would write it in English, and it means the same thing. So this is how other languages have influenced Creole. And also, we have ancestral languages like Bhojpuri that people, in rural parts of Mauritius, where they speak Bhojpuri, coming from that part of India where they spoke that language, they've mixed up actually how they speak Creole. And for me, I didn't know that Bhojpuri was its own language. I always thought, and this is like me, my mind just putting things together sometimes. Bhojpuri to me, when I listen to it, Bhojpuri is a language from India. And when I listened to Bhojpuri, what I heard living in Mauritius, what I would hear is a mix between Hindi and Creole. So I always thought, and it wasn't until I came here that I realized that Bhojpuri was its own language. But Bhojpuri is another language that we don't often talk about, and it's not an option to learn in school. There aren't, I would say, it's one of those ancestral languages that are only spoken in very specific parts of rural, I would say, parts of Mauritius and also at home.
Tell me about, in your experience with speaking to other Creole speakers from around the world, and maybe other French-based Creole speakers, either in like Réunion or in Haiti, or I don't know, other parts of the Caribbean, for example. Have you had experience speaking with other Creole speakers, and how do you notice the similarities and differences between these French-based Creole languages?
Right. So there are definitely lots of similarities because they both have the same base, right? They're both based on French. And the way that they were formed is actually, like, first of all, I have to mention that we do use a Latin script in Creole Mauricien. And I believe all the other Creoles, at least French-based Creole that I'm aware of, they all use the Latin script. And so in terms of similarities, I think if you were to look at from an, let's say, academic perspective, some linguists would tell you that there aren't any influences, like the languages didn't influence each other or anything because they're from completely different parts of the world. But we see a lot of similarities because all these languages came from basically the same roots. Which in this case it's French, but we also know that there are other types of Creole languages based on Spanish or Portuguese or even English Creoles. So now with the French Creole, I will start by talking about the Indian Ocean, and then I'll go more in the Caribbean. So in the Indian Ocean, with Mauritian Creole, there are, let's say, variations of that Creole that's spoken in Rodrigues Island, which is also part of the Republic of Mauritius, and Agaliga. Agaliga is north of Mauritius, northwest of Mauritius, and they also have a version of this language that's spoken. And I'm sure we can understand each other because it's a version of Creole Mauricien itself that's spoken.
I'm just looking on a map while you're talking.
Sure. And then, so if you're looking up Rodrigues is northeast of it.
Okay.
It's very tiny. Like Mauritius is very, very tiny. And then there's Rodrigues that's even smaller.
Tiny.
Yeah, super tiny. Yeah, and in my family, we actually have someone who was born on that island. I used to live on Rodrigues Island, actually.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk about that.
My brother is actually Rodriguez, how we would say in Creole Mauritien. And we're all Mauritians except for him. So we used to live on Rodrigues Island. So that's where he was born. And I have to say, I had the opportunity of listening to their Creole as well. It's very similar, French based as well, very similar to the Mauritian one, with slight variations in the accent, or maybe, I can't remember now, I was very little when I moved there. I was literally a baby. But then later on, we actually went in to visit Rodrigues back in 2000 and something, I can't remember now. But I remember listening to their Creole and seeing, like, at least in the pronunciation, there was like a slight variation. I don't know if the writing is different. I don't actually know even if they have a writing. Okay. Something for me to look into, because more for Creole Mauricien, it's somewhat of a new thing in Mauritius. Now I can imagine that this will spread to, you know, other islands as well. Now you mentioned specifically La Réunion or Réunion Island. They speak Creole there too, Creole Réunionais. Or I guess in English it would be Réunion Creole.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, I think their French is probably more dominated by French than the Mauritian one is, because they're still part of France.
Right.
And there's a lot of French people, I would say a lot more French people living in La Réunion than in Mauritius. So I have heard Réunion Creole before, But again, there are some little differences that you may not even notice. And pronunciation is probably, I would say, the biggest difference.
Okay.
And we also have Seychellois, Creole Seychellois, and the Seychelles. That's also French-based Creole.
Got that
And
map again.
yeah, north of Mauritius,
Yes.
sort of like right in the middle of
Oh,
Russia.
yeah. Okay.
And actually, I don't know if the Maldives, I don't believe they might speak Creole there too. I'm not too sure. The ones that I'm familiar with in the Indian Ocean anyway are Creole Seychellois, Creole Réunionnais, Creole Mauricien, Creole Rodriguez from Madrid, and from Agalega. I don't know what that would be. Agalega? No, I don't know. I don't want to make up some words here, but the Creole that's spoken there. And those three anyway, they're part of the Republic of Mauritius. There might be other islands in the Indian Ocean that speak their version of Creole too. But from what I can see, all of the ones in the Indian Ocean, they're all French-based.
Okay.
Yeah. So now the Caribbean. With the Caribbean, and also recently I learned, including the United States, they speak. I knew about Louisiana, Creole from Louisiana. I just didn't realize like how much of it I would actually understand
Oh.
until the conference that you participated in back in June. I met someone. I'm going to start with this because, and then I'll talk about Haiti as well. So I met Jonathan Mayers. I met him on Clubhouse during the conference last a couple months ago. And he recited a poem during our closing ceremony in Kurivini. Kurivini is also Louisiana Creole. And when he recited the poem, I didn't think that, like, I knew it was French based. I just didn't realize like how much of it would, because there are variations of like the influence of French in Creole languages, right? So I didn't realize like how much it was so like dominated by French, to the point that someone from like the Indian Ocean would understand them, you know? So I listened to him recite this poem and I was like, oh, wow. Like I understood somewhere between 60 to 70% of what he was saying, and I understood the whole thing because of the context as well, right? Maybe there are some individual words that I didn't fully understand. But yeah, there's Louisiana Creole that is also French-based, and I would say maybe not very, but quite similar to Creole Mauricien. And of course, Haitian Creole. I think I would have to say, when we talk about Creole languages, that is the one Creole language that pretty much everybody knows of, if they know of Creole languages anyway. And also, I always think of Haitian Creole as, I should, sorry, Creole Haitien, as sort of the gateway to bringing awareness to other Creole languages that exist in the world. Because Creole Haitien has, earned the respect that I would like to see other Creole languages earn in their own country to begin with. I find that the case of Creole Haitien is perhaps the one that we should look at, or in a way even look up to see like how what happened in Haiti, and how that can be also implemented in other countries where Creole is spoken, any type of Creole, not just French-based Creole, because there's a lot of stigma around Creole languages. It is very hard for, going back to the case of Creole Mauricien, to gain that respect it deserves at the official level for Creole Mauricien to be an official language. Because even as I left the country over 15 years ago, I was still being told, or I would be speaking Creole Mauricien is sort of like, It's not something that is encouraged, definitely. And maybe even now it's not encouraged, but definitely something that people would make you feel ashamed of. When I left the country, it was still the case. Maybe it's a little bit different now. At least from what I can see on in the media, I have opposing views to whether Creole Mauricien is actually getting the respect it deserves or not. So if we're talking about academia, it might be getting that respect because now you can study it in a in school, and not just primary school but also secondary school and even tertiary. You can study it in university, but it is not in society. Let's say in the social context, getting away from academia, it is still seen as a language of the descendants of African slaves, and one that is that we shouldn't be using in society. There are people who love the language, want to study it and learn how to write it and everything, but there are others who still push against it because they think that, if we learn this language, it's not going to help us in the long run in the career, in your career, or even in school, because you're not taught in Creole Mauricien. If you were taught in Creole Mauricien, that would be a completely different story. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I feel like Mauritian Creole Mauricien has the potential to earn that respect that Creole Haïtien has earned in Haiti. They are Creole Haïtien is the one of the official, I think both French and Creole Haïtien are the official languages in Haiti. I don't know enough about the history there to know when exactly this happened, but I would like to see, because both of these languages, they are, I would say, when I listen to Creole Haïtien, I listen about somewhere between 50 to 60%, maybe a little bit more than that, of what is being said. So in terms of the similarities between these two languages, there are because of the French base, but like all Creoles have been influenced on their on the countries that surround them, right? So with Haiti, like with Mauritius, there are no other countries. We are like right in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There's nothing else that surrounds us, right? But with Haiti, despite it being a French-based Creole and being very similar to Creole Mauricien, it has had influences from Spanish, from English, and from perhaps other, maybe even, I don't know if I would go as far as saying indigenous languages, but there used to be indigenous people. If I'm not mistaken, maybe the Caribs or the Taino who used to live in that part of the Caribbean. So maybe they have influenced the language too, the Creole language, because I imagine when this language was being formed, was being shaped, it was being shaped by all the people who are there. And it happened in the time that the indigenous people were there too. So their language, their Creole Haitien, has been influenced by a lot more languages coming from that part of the world anyway than it has in Mauritius. So are they similar? Yes. But I think their similarities can only be found in the fact that they both are derived from French. But other than that, influences are different. So I would say there are tons of differences between these languages and also all the Creole languages that can be found in the Caribbean and in the Indian Ocean and other Creoles out there. Because as I said earlier, they're all influenced by other languages and these other languages can easily sort of integrate into any Creole language, and you have another beautiful Creole variation or dialect that just like flourishes out of the dominant Creole language.
Thanks for that explanation. Thank you for that. So as you're living in the diaspora, how has your Creole Mauricien changed? I'm sorry for my accent, but how has it changed? I don't know about your community. Like, do you have a community, a diaspora community that you are close with? And how has the language evolved within that diaspora, or maybe any traditions that have evolved within that diaspora that maybe we wouldn't see and hear in Mauritius?
Fascinating question. You're sort of tapping into how I've preserved the language of, having been here for so many years. So, to answer your first question, yes, we do have I would say, a growing community of Mauritians here. And when we see each other, we always only communicate in Mauritian Creole. Now, I say this, but at the same time, I have to acknowledge the fact that we live in an English context here. And I would say our dominant, I'll speak for myself here, my dominant language is English. So when I'm speaking, I try now that, I'm getting more and more involved with language advocacy, I try to not switch to English as much. But sometimes it's really hard because I would say my vocabulary is lacking, at least at the advanced level. There are so many words that I don't know in Creole Mauricien. So I have to tap into English. But I'm seeing a change in like myself lately where when my mom always speaks in Creole Mauricien, never in English. And this is my opportunity to speak Creole Mauricien. Only Creole Mauricien. With my dad, it's the same thing. With my siblings, we always just communicate in English. Now, going to the traditions, something that we've been doing over the years with the community here is that we do those dinner parties. It's something that my parents used to do a lot back home as well. We love throwing big dinner parties. And in my city here, we do those dinner parties quite often. Doesn't matter if it's a birthday party or just a chance to for us to get together and like share some gossip or what's happening in Mauritius with politics and stuff. You'd be surprised by how many people actually still read the newspaper from back home, which
I
is not
love
even
it.
relevant to them.
I
Like sometimes like. Even my dad does that sometimes. It's not really relevant to them. Like my parents would never go back to live in Mauritius again because they've spent so much time outside of the country now. They don't see themselves going back. Neither do we, like my siblings and I. So, but somehow my dad is still reading, I think it's called Le Mauricien. That's like their main gazette or newspaper. And sometimes like he would read that or he would consume media in Creole Mauricien online on YouTube, like to see like what's going on. If through the grapevine we hear that there's been a flooding or a storm or something like that, that's I would say most of the time that's when there's at least a few people in the group for us to know about this. There's a few people who are actually actively consuming information or staying connected to their families or at least online through the news or something to Mauritius, so that we get to hear it from them directly. So these are the ways that we all, either maybe not so much individually, but as a collective, we try to stay connected to the language through media and also just talking to our relatives on a regular basis. Maybe my family, not so much. We don't have too many relatives back home anymore, but I know lots of people from the Mauritian community here. They have a lot of family back home still, and we go often back, not we, but they go often back to Mauritius. And these are all the ways that they stay connected. But now, what we've seen over the last 15 years or so, because we have left the country with a Creole that we know, when we go back home, it's like our Creole has not evolved. Creole Mauricien back home has. They have all these new expressions, and the way they speak as well is very like I would say pure Creole, whereas we don't speak that. So they treat us as foreigners. They know right away because they say we speak with an accent. But the funny thing is that it's not an accent that we're speaking with. I find this fascinating when they say that we speak Creole with an accent when it actually is the Creole from like 15, 16, 20 years ago that
Interesting.
them, it sounds like an accent. Of course, I mean, we can't forget the fact that we speak English here and some people also speak French, and that has really influenced the code that we speak. But sometimes, like, if I don't speak, the most Creole that I hear is from my mom and dad. But sometimes if we get into like a social gathering, I will hear someone speak Creole and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Like it's so beautiful to me because I don't speak like that. But this actually like, it makes me very happy sometimes when I see like the, you know, families who have had kids here. They are teaching their kids at least to know how to pick up on some words, how to say some words. And some of the kids here also not only understand Creole, but can actually say a few words, or maybe they will respond in English. So these are the ways that I find that, you know, people here in our immersion community, they have tried to keep up, maybe not keep up with the language, but to stay connected with their language in that way by passing it on to their kids, even though you could never use Creole Mauricien here for anything, they're still doing it. And I love that because I mean, it's definitely something that I encourage to people here, but they just don't see the value. I also know some families who completely refuse to teach anything to their kids.
Oh, no.
At all. But also it's because of, you know, what they grew up listening to about this language back home, right? I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of stigma around Creole Mauricien. There's a lot of stigma around all Creole languages, but with Creole Mauricien, you know, we've been told from a very young age that we shouldn't be using this language at all. So unfortunately, I mentioned the opposing views earlier when we were talking, but what I mean by that is recently I had some people from immersion community went back home after the 2 year sort of like travel ban we had with the pandemic. They went back home and they told me like how people aren't using Creole Mauricien anymore. People are mostly using, depending on the context, lots of people are using English and French, maybe not so much English. English is mostly used at more of an official level and as a medium of instruction, but lots of people were speaking French more. And even people who would say that they are fluent in Creole Mauricien, it is sort of like, there's like perhaps a good 20 to 30% of what they're speaking is actually French in pronunciation and also in the way that they're saying it. So that's why I feel like, you know, we have about 1.3 or maybe somewhere between 1.3 and 1.5 million people who speak this language. But in my mind, because of what I can see outside of academia anyway, I feel like it's a language that is sort of disappearing in society. Yeah. Like you will find that people still speak the language a lot in the, you know, the home context. It's still everybody's one of their primary languages, but it is a language that is, you know, fastly sort of being overpowered by the official languages in the country. You have some like language champions, language heroes, who have been doing the work for decades now, who have created, I learned multiple dictionaries now. Yes. in the language, and it is being taught in school, which is great.
Tell us about Lingua Cultura and that conference, and tell us, you know, I know that it recently passed and you were so gracious to ask me to take part in it this year. I had an amazing time. And I was really inspired by the diversity of speakers that were part of this conference. So I guess tell us a little bit about the conference and what kind of, you know, what led you to have such a diversity of speakers. And if you know already when the next one is going to be or where we can even find this conference.
Absolutely. So the Lingua Cultura experience started last year during the pandemic. And I had joined this sort of, I guess in back then when I joined it, it was still an exclusive social audio app called Clubhouse. And as soon as I joined it, the very first community that I was attracted to and I joined was the language community. And soon after that, I joined in a neuroscience conference, and I saw the possibilities of doing conferences and such events on this app. I knew that there were literally millions of people, actual language learners, people who have been doing it, not, I shouldn't say actual, but, let's say regular language learners and people who are new to language learning because they were stuck at home, didn't really know what to do. Lots of people actually pick up language learning. So I saw like how there was such a diversity in the type of learners that there were, and also how this was creating such a huge community of millions on this app. I saw the potential there to do an event where we would gather people on a much larger scale. If you've used Clubhouse before, you know that there's lots of language learning happening and practice and all that, but it's always almost on a smaller scale. And back then, we still had millions and millions of people joining every day, maybe not joining every day, but definitely using it. So I saw the potential of doing this conference, but I didn't do it until I wanted to do it even back in May. I mean, March, but I joined in February and I wanted to spend some time to really connect with people to see who would want to participate because I was new to the app. And I would have to say, I had just graduated university. So I didn't really know a lot of people working in the language community, even last year. Isn't that funny? I know hundreds, not thousands of them now. But yeah, I saw the potential. I started connecting with lots of individuals, both from the education community on Clubhouse, which is huge, by the way, and also the language community. So then in April, I participated in the first education conference on Clubhouse, and I helped out with parts of it. And then I just decided, I would reach out to because I was already working with them. I just asked them if they would like to do another education conference, but focus solely on languages. Because a common trend in education conference is that there aren't a lot of talks or even speakers about languages. So then I said, that also sort of solidified the idea of focusing of doing a conference just for that purpose, just for languages. So with Clubhouse being a phenomenon on sorry with language learning being a phenomenon on Clubhouse and all the connections that I was making, I thought, I'll just do a small event and invite a few amazing speakers that I've met. And I was thinking maybe 20 speakers, maybe even 40. I was aiming for 40, by the way. And then the application went out, and I started getting people interested in joining. And some people came from like a purely, they were linguists and were coming from a purely language background, and others were coming from an education background, but knew how language was important in what they were doing. And they also presented. So, long story short, we did an event in June last year. It was a 3-day conference. I called it a global education and humanities conference because of the approach that I used. It was both educational, but also the way I designed the whole thing was very much centered around people and their stories. So, and with the focus being languages is part of the humanities field. This is why it was called that way. So the conference itself was called Connection, a Lingua Cultura Experience. So Connection because of I really just wanted to connect people from the education community because it honestly, I got really angry of being part of all of these amazing conversations on Clubhouse that was happening about education. And when it came down to talking about languages, other people didn't want to or knew very little about, or it was like sort of like, secondary to STEM, to everything else. STEM is big, but languages is like almost always forgotten. So this is the story behind wanting to do this. Now it kind of just like it blew up from there. I did the conference. We had over 4,500 individuals who attended, which is nuts. Hundreds. We had about 250 speakers all together, and we had around 100 sessions at the conference.
Wow.
So this year, I was not thinking of doing this conference again, but again, I got angry for another reason, and which led me to doing that conference. So we know, like, you might be aware of this too. Maybe some of your listeners do know this. The International Decade of Indigenous Languages started this year. And with that, it gives all of us who work with languages an opportunity to talk about the languages that we work with, but also sort of like open the door to talking about about Indigenous languages, but also other languages. So I got really fed up with going in so many different spaces where we are talking about languages, and Creole languages are never mentioned or never talked about. And it surprised me, like, how people don't even know about them. And I, other than, you know, a couple of individuals who have studied, like, you know, Creole Haitien, there weren't any other ones. And when I'm talking about those couple of people, those are like regular language learners who have learned dozens of languages. But other than them, people just didn't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw an opportunity, the conference that you participated in, as an opportunity to, you know, do a lingua cultura experience, let's say 2.0, that is aligned with, you know, the decade, but at the same time, use that as an opportunity to talk about Creole languages. And next year, if there is a next year, I'm not sure, you could ask me about this. My mission is to keep creating those spaces for people to see the value of language learning. Not just, you know, learning languages to be able to communicate with people, but there are the cognitive aspects of learning languages at any age, especially at a young age, where it really enhances your cognitive abilities. And I don't want to get too much into this, but language learning has many benefits, you know, and everybody who engages in language learning, they're so flexible or versatile when it comes to so many different things. You can be in different types of groups of people. You can be put in different situations. It's great to be multilingual and multicultural.
Yeah.
And this is also the vision, by the way. This is, like, you know, the vision of the Lingua Cultura experience is for us to be working together to build a multilingual and multicultural future together. I do believe that we live in a somewhat multilingual and multicultural world, but maybe in parts of the world you see it, but not everywhere. And I know we have the potential to all learn languages if we wanted to, and if we truly understood that the value of languages and how it connects all of us as human beings.
Please let us know where we can find you on social media, or we can find Lingua Cultura Experience, so that we can keep an eye out if and when the third installment happens.
Right. Okay. So I would direct people to our Instagram account. That's the one that I've really been nurturing over 1 year now. That's at Lingua Cultura EXP. That's LINGUACULTURAEXP, which is just short for Lingua Cultura Experience. And it's the same thing. You can find it the same way on all platforms, except for Twitter. For Twitter, it's at Lingua Cultura, but there's no E. There's just XP.
Okay. So great. I will...
find us.
Yeah, I'll add links to those platforms in the show notes so that people can click right away while they're listening to this conversation, and they can find you and start following, because we want a third edition. So I really encourage as many people as are listening to attend.
You mentioned, where can people find see what we did at the last conference, and I forgot to mention that. So on Clubhouse, the last conference we did, all of the sessions were recorded. So they can all be found on Clubhouse, and you just have to find, it's the same name, Lingua Cultura Experience. And you can find all the recordings from not just the conference, but all the other sessions, as we do have weekly conversations every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time. We have our weekly conversations with Philippe Nubel. He's the co-host. And we have conversations about public speaking in a non-native language, also on less spoken languages matter more. And we have our special topics that we have every, again, it's always on a Thursday, but once a month we have a special topic.
Great. Yeah, I'll absolutely add those links, and everybody should be following you because we want people to support and to know what you're doing. Thank you so much for this conversation, Avishta. I really appreciate your time and sharing a bit about your language and your culture with all of us. I like to end each episode on the same question and just on a fun note. Do you have any jokes, popular sayings, tongue twisters, cool slang words, idioms, words of wisdom, or words of advice in Creole Mauricien to share? And to teach me how to say.
There's a word that I always found to be, that made no sense to me, but it kind of came out of like popular culture. It's called pranissa. Pranissa.
Pranissa.
Yeah. So this is like, you know, an expression that we would use like back when I used to live there. And this expression basically means that you are, you know, sort of like teasing someone when you're like teasing someone incessantly. Prend Nissa. Prend means like to take, but Nissa.
Prend Nissa. That's
Prend Nissa. Yeah.
Prend Nissa.
Yeah. Do you speak French by any chance?
J'ai pas français un peu, mais.
Okay. Prend Nissa basically means that you are sort of, you know, annoying someone or teasing them, bugging them, you know, but continuously, incessantly, to the point that people just need to tell you, like, you know, stop and or get away from me. Yeah.
Or I love that.
It could be in a joking manner as well. You could laugh about it or you could literally just tell the person, you know, stop and get away.
Oh my gosh. No, I like that one.
Yeah, can I maybe share a few common phrases that we would use to greet each other?
Sure.
Okay. So we would say, you can say allo, which is more informal. Say hi or hello. Also, we say allo on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say bonjour. Bonjour means bonjour or good morning.
Bonjour.
And yeah, bonjour. And bon après-midi, or bon après-midi in French, or good afternoon. Good evening would be bonsoir. Bonsoir, like bonsoir is the same thing in French.
Mm-hmm.
We would say merci, just like thank you. We would say in French, it's the same way merci, but it's written differently. Qui manière? How are you?
Qui manière?
Manière, yeah, qui manière. And mot bien, I'm good.
Mot bien. I like to do this because I know that some people feel intimidated to try something completely new and completely blind, so to speak. So it's kind of my way of putting myself in the hot seat and like, okay, I'll try it. It's not going to be perfect. I'll do my best. And hopefully my listeners can feel inspired to do the same when it comes to their language learning. And I've built up a lot of confidence over these past 100+ episodes of doing this because I used to feel like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. Like I'm saying it wrong. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm saying it wrong. I'm doing my best, but I'm showing up and I'm trying. So I hope that sends some kind of positive message to people listening out there. Thank you again, Avishta, for this conversation. I had so much fun chatting with you.
Me too. And thank you for those amazing questions. It, you know, when you were asking these questions, they actually gave me an opportunity to also reflect on my experience living here in the diaspora, but also my experience back home. So I really love that, and I love the opportunity to be able to share that, you know, that part of my identity, my culture, my language, with your listeners, and hopefully we can inspire them to keep learning languages and maybe add a Creole language to their linguistic repertoire if they are avid language learners.
We hope so. Really quickly before I let you go, in this situation when you've been talking to someone for quite some time, in Creole Mauricien, what is the best way to say goodbye?
Oh, you're gonna laugh. It's so simple. But actually it's a funny one. We say allez bye.
Allez, bye.
Allez bye. I don't know why we say allez. Allez means like to go. But it's like, at least in my family, we use allez bye a lot.
I
But
love it.
typically you would hear people say bye. Like literally, it's just like the way we say it in English. Bye. Yeah.
I like it. Simple, short and
Simple. Yeah.
sweet. Avista, allez, bye.
Allez, allez, bye, elle. Merci, merci beaucoup.
Merci à vous. And I will be talking to you soon.
All
Bye.
right, bye.